life and art and faith and idiocy. The Bassoon King. Rainn Wilson standing by. And let me grab this. We love when Rain's on the show. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How's it going?
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Yeah, I wrote a book. Can you believe it?
Well, good for you. First you read one, now you wrote one. Look at you. You're all grown up.
I know. I'm going places.
SoulPancake.com is this company we were talking about a second ago. And on SoulPancake.com, you can see all sorts of cool stuff that Rain's involved with. But you can also see Rainn Wilson Eskimo kissing Russell Brand. Comedian Russell Brand.
That's right. I was there. Me and Katy Perry might be the only people that have Eskimo kissed Russell Brand. Actually, and about 1,000 other women.
But that's it. That's the list. Yeah, that's you, Katy Perry, and 1,000 other women.
Yeah. Yep. And that's it.
All right. So you write the book, which is a lot about your life, a lot about your time on The Office. And then we tried to, I don't know who you're talking to, but they were taking far too much of your time. So we tried the 10 Things I Know For Sure challenge. Explain. I don't know that we were doing it right. What is the 10 Things I Know For Sure challenge from the book?
You know, it's funny. It's an Oprah thing. It's an Oprah thing. You wouldn't understand. No, she does this a lot. She had a blog for years. In fact, it's a Chicago thing. Gene Siskel, the late Chicago film reviewer, gave Oprah that challenge, which is, what are 10 things in your life that you know for sure? And it's a really difficult thing to answer. You think like, oh, that's easy. But then after you get past 3 or 4, it's really difficult.
So it'd be like my kids love me, and then go from there, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. What are some things you know? Do you know that for sure? Do you know that your kids love you?
Well, one of them works here. Ross, do you still love me, or is that up for debate?
Yeah, it depends on the day.
Wow. All right, I got no things I know for sure.
No things I know for sure.
Wow, that's really disturbing at a lot of levels. Also in the book, you talk about going from being the nerd kid to being Rainn Wilson, big shot Hollywood mogul and superstar. Did you have somebody in your life when you were a teenager that kind of said, hey, it's okay to be different?
You know, my parents were certainly, quote unquote, different. I would call them weird as hell, but they were different, but... No, it was different back then. In the late 70s and early 80s, if you were geeky or weird, you hung out with other geeky and weird people.
Sure.
You were beaten mercilessly. There was no idea that, oh, bullying is a bad thing. In fact, it was the opposite. People thought bullying was a good thing, that it was kind of, it would put some meat on your bones. It would toughen you up and prepare you for life.
We had teachers in the hallway that go, I'll knock the weird out of you. And those were the adults.
I remember there would be like some pimply kid would be like picking his nose, and the teacher would be like, oh, you guys should beat the crap out of him after school. That ought to teach him a lesson. You know, they were a part of the whole thing. So it was just different back then. I don't know. Like my son now, he's 11. He plays Dungeons and Dragons, but he's also on the basketball team and on the flag football team and has a lot of friends and plays electric guitar. But no one sees any problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's the upside, right, of our generation of parents. Sure, we do a lot of things wrong. Sure, we overparent, we helicopter, all those things. But I think this generation, it's not perfect. Obviously, there's bullies out there and there's bad kids. But kids today are much, much more accepting.
Yeah, they are. They're more accepting. And there's great examples of geeks and nerds that have excelled and that do really well. And, people, they're just more accepting.
You do a number of lists in the book, but I was interested to see that somehow you convinced Dwight Schrute to write the foreword.
Yeah, we got him. We paid him $300, and Dwight wrote the foreword. It was the deal of the century. And unfortunately, Dwight didn't like the book very much. So
he didn't.
That makes it a little awkward. He just went on and on about what a terrible, stupid book it was and how the author, Rainn Wilson, is a know-nothing idiot. So, but it's still a good read. So we kept it in.
I was, like the rest of America, is a huge fan of The Office. And I wondered at one point, and I don't know if this is a future project for you, and this is free from your friend Steve. What's Dwight Schrute like at 65? What's the right Schrute doing at 65 or 70?
That's funny. retired Dwight kind of farmer.
Yeah. Is he a farmer? What's he doing? Is he on cruises, frightening people? What's he doing?
He would be a good one. Dwight's travel show. Dwight travels the world. Kind of like Anthony Bourdain, eating different foods. That would be very funny.
And being very, very critical. The book's called The Bassoon King. Why?
Because it's kind of my nerdy totem. Like, I played the bassoon for 5 years when I was a teenager, and I don't know, to me it just makes me laugh. And the picture with me in a bassoon, it just makes me laugh.
What was the maintenance of the bassoon? Does the bassoon have a spit valve?
Oh, yeah, the bassoon has everything. It takes like an hour to assemble. It's a ridiculous instrument. It sounds like a donkey farting. And they should be banned. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous instrument. I got roped into playing it. I got conned by my I wanted to play the saxophone, but my teacher roped me into playing the bassoon.
Like, if you had the bassoon right now, could you play it, or have you forgotten everything you ever learned?
Yeah, you know, I did. I played it on Stephen Colbert's show last week, and it caused quite a controversy because I played the bassoon and then I smashed the bassoon like a rock star, and then everyone got all up in arms that I was, like, taking away music from inner city schools.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Just this huge, like, controversy that I smashed a bassoon. People are just always looking for something to get really outraged about.
Yeah, well, you should see the texters on this show. Do you have a sense, because I do, that there's about 50 to 100 people that comment on every website, and they're most miserable, unhappy people on the planet. And those are the people that hated your bassoon move.
I think that's exactly right. I think it's because people with vital, awesome lives, they don't have time to go on sit boards and social media on the computer and comment on things. So.
Well, you're a huge star now. I mean, you could have a roadie for your bassoon.
That's what I should do. That's what I should do. I need to do a bassoon tour. Maybe get like 100 bassoons on tour.
That's the name of the tour, 100 bassoons. And you sell the shirts for $37.50.
Perfect.
Do chicks dig guys that play bassoons?
Oh, no way. No way. It's a chick repellent. Yeah, it's like spraying like bear urine on.
Well, that's a sweet thing for you band leaders to absorb this morning. The Bassoon King, Rainn Wilson. Look, you're not here, but if you were here, let me autograph the book to me from you. What would you say to me?
Okay. I would say, don't be an idiot.
Don't be, that's going to hurt the show, I got to be honest with you. Don't be an idiot. Anything else or just love Rainn?
No, that's it.
All right. Just love Rainn. I threw the love in.
Eskimo kisses, exclamation point, XOXO, art, LOL.
Have a great summer. See you in the fall. Soulpancake.com. Check that out as well. And get your copy of The Bassoon King. You're always welcome here. Nice talking to you, bud.
Hey, great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
See ya. That's Rainn Wilson. And the interesting thing about that is Rainn Wilson was live at Channel 9 this morning.
Yeah, he was.
And he was live at Channel 9, and then he did what amounts to a press junket, where he's doing interviews around the country. That's why he was a little late for us. But apparently, instead of picking up the phone locally, his people had him dial in to a Los Angeles switchboard to do a press junket around the country, which is why we had that weird sort of, we almost had like a delay, like we were calling overseas.
Oh, it's good they saved all those steps.
I mean, you can almost see him from here.
Right. He could have gotten in an Uber driven down here.
Oh, it's show business. It's not that hard. It's 9:25. We're back after this on 720 WGN.